Hello, welcome to the Voice of Hope podcast. Today, we have a special presentation from the Heralds of Hope Strategic Partner Breakfast. Listen along as Dale Savage presents God's Purpose in Work.
You know, Jeremy sort of set me up because he said I had 25 minutes, but then he said I could share all this other stuff. Well, obviously I can't share everything in 25 minutes. So I need to stay with the topic probably that we have at hand. But I am part of the Symbiz network. As Jeremy said, Symbiz is a business peer group network. We do have numerous peer groups in the Myerstown area, as well as throughout Pennsylvania, Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Wisconsin, Missouri, Kentucky. I think that's where we are so far. Got some other people up in New York. So basically, we, you know, the peer groups are there because we want to support one another in our work, but it goes back to the topic of what I have here. What's God's purpose in our work? And those are two words there in that topic that probably invokes very different feelings. God and work. Now, when we think of God, I hope we have some very positive feelings, right? We have very positive view of God. But then we think of work and we think, well, you know, work is what? What do you think of when you think of work? I just wanted some feedback here. What do you think of when you think of work?
Energy.
Energy. Okay. That's a positive one. What else?
Serving.
Okay.
Beauty and order.
Okay. You need an order.
Sweat of our brow.
Very good.
Here's one we're not supposed to say. Making money.
Making money. Absolutely.
Activity.
You're obviously a business owner, not a business. Anyway.
productivity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so as Christian people, we have a little bit different view of work, I think, than what general society does. But I want to talk about God's purpose in work. What is God's purpose in work? And as we were sitting here listening to the presentation with Heralds of Hope, one of the things that I always tell people is when you're looking at your work, we need to get rid of a dichotomy. You know, we've created somewhat of a dichotomy of we either go and do mission or we go stay home and work. Right? And that dichotomy should not exist. It should not exist because they go hand in hand. God's purpose in work is to give us purpose. We look at God. God worked. God created, right? We at the very beginning of the scriptures, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. God created. He worked. And because we are created in the image of God, we also have a desire to work. We have a desire to be creative. We want to create things. We want to do things. We want to be productive. We have that in us as a part of God's creation, about being created in God's image. And so God gave man an outlet for that. And what did he do? He created man and he placed them in the Garden of Eden, right? Now, was that before or after the fall?
Before
the fall. So work is not a part of the fall. Is that correct? Or is work part of the fall? You see, that's where we run into problems sometimes, or difficulties, or even we get the wrong mindset, I think, sometimes. Work was there before the fall because God knew that we needed to have a way to work out that image of him in us on a regular basis. So he was given the responsibility to dress and keep the garden. He was also given the responsibility of having dominion over the rest of creation. Now, what does that look like? You know, people say, well, he couldn't have had, you know, dressing and keeping the garden, that would have been the sweat of his brow. That would have been hard work. It wasn't. And we don't understand everything that it was like before the fall. I have a Bible teacher here. I'm not going to try to get into all that. But we do realize that before the fall, work was different. Okay. But he was still given responsibility. You know, people say, well, it was a perfect world. Why would he have to dress and keep the garden? Well, there was still growth. And growth requires that control or that dominion that he was given, that responsibility that he was given. And we see at the creation, when God created the animals with all the genetics and DNA and everything that was needed to have all the different kinds that we see today, all the different species that we see today within the kinds. And we see people breeding dogs. I'm sure there's some of those around, okay, among the Anabaptists. And we see people, you know, breeding the horses and getting all these different things out of them. Why wouldn't Adam have had that opportunity to do some of those same things? You see, God had so much potential there at the beginning that he placed in the man's hands for work. Because man needed a purpose. We've all heard the old saying, idleness is a devil's workshop, right? And it's not Bible. I'll tell you, you're not going to find that in the Bible. How many, you know, you hear all these sayings, I'm sure it's in the Bible somewhere. Well, that is not actually in the Bible, but the concept is, the very concept that God gave work because man needed something to give him purpose. So two aspects of that. Man was given work to glorify God. It was part of his relationship with God. When he took care of the creation, God didn't say, I'm giving it to you, you own it. He said, here, take care of this for me. I've created all this beauty, now take care of it for me. Be a steward of it. And that stewardship that man had was that relationship with God, and he was doing it to glorify God. He was doing it for God. Not in place of God, but for God. And then you know what? Man also had to meet his own needs in that area. God gave him all the herbs. God gave him all the trees. He gave him all the fruit except the one. But God didn't just start picking everything and saying, here, go ahead and eat. You know, we don't think of that. But as I was preparing for this, I was thinking all these things. And I thought, man had to provide for his own needs. So to glorify God and his work as a steward and to meet his needs for the two purposes that I see before the fall and even after that God gave man work for. So how does that continue on today? How do we see that playing out? After the fall, yes, we had the toil by the sweat of your brow. Work became more difficult. It did. That was part of the fall. And so that's that, we have to live with that. Other aspects, creating, having dominion over the earth and over the creation and being steward of it. We needed to do the same thing. We still needed to have that. We still needed to have the care of the earth, but it became more difficult because of disobedience. And disobedience always brings more difficulties in our lives. We need to keep that principle in mind too. But back to the purpose of work. Even throughout the Old Testament, we look in the law, the same purposes were there that God gave to man. Did God have a welfare system in the Old Testament? You know, we look around us, we have welfare, right? Did God have a welfare system in the Old Testament? What's the thoughts? Tell me. The corners of the field. That's right. God had a welfare system. But God was still, even in that, even for the poor, he was still helping them have a purpose. You see, God didn't say, now you just glean everything over here. You just make sure that it's all cleaned up, all the corners and everything else is picked up out of that field because we don't want any waste. And now you take what you need and then you just give it to these people over here sitting here doing nothing. It's not what God wanted. Why? Because the poor still needed a purpose. And that purpose could still be to meet their needs and in thankfulness for God's system, glorify God. So that relationship, that stewardship, that care for themselves, as well as glorifying God and meeting their needs, was a part of the Old Testament system too. And I think that's where a lot of the systems today fail. Okay? Because today people still need purpose. They still need purpose. Because in the New Testament era, there's a lot of principles in the New Testament about work and about purpose and work. You know, Ephesians, I'm not going to turn to these passages in the scripture, but I'm going to refer to them. Ephesians 4:28. He who stole, let him steal no more. But what? Labor with his own hands that he might have to give to those that needeth. You see, this man that was stealing had a purpose, or so he thought, and that was to steal. But obviously in stealing, you can't glorify God. You can't be a steward of what God's given to you. You may supply your needs. But that's not the way God wanted it. So he said, you stole, steal no more. And man, and obviously Paul's writing to believers here. So obviously there's some believers in the church that used to be thieves. And so he's telling them, don't steal anymore. Work. Work. Don't be idle. Don't be busybodies. Work. You may have to give to those that need it. And then 1 Thessalonians 4:11-12. Study to be quiet, or be diligent to be quiet, to do your business. Work with your own hands. And why? Because that way you have a good testimony with those outside of your circles. Okay. And you also have the ability to meet your needs. Okay. And again, I keep saying needs. You'll hear me say that word. I don't say wants a lot here. Okay. And we need to be able to distinguish between those two things. Because when God gives us work and we use his principles and we have an abundance, it's not just to continue to pile on our own wants, but also to share with those in need, such as Heralds of Hope, other organizations, and those in our own community. So that's the part of meeting the needs, those two passages in the New Testament, but then also Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, not unto men, because ye serve the Lord Christ. There's that stewardship. There's that relationship that in our work, we are still serving the Lord. I worked in a factory for 21 years. When I started working there as an operator, it was a large factory in our area. It was a Honda supplier. I worked second shift. Unfortunately, we homeschooled, so our schedule could be adjusted where we sought our family time in the daytime and then work in the evening versus the other way around. But most people hated second shift. It interfered with their lives. And I understand that. But I was happy. People say, how can you be so happy? What are you doing? I'd say, I'm serving the Lord. Kind of looked at me. I'm meeting my family's needs, and I'm serving the Lord here. The Lord gave me the health to get up. He gave me the strength to come to work. He's given me so much that I can use to make these plastic parts. Now, I'll say another thing. When I worked with, I became continuous improvement, their lean administrator, their CIA is what they called me, not the government CIA. I was the continuous improvement administrator. And when I worked with the teams, I would tell them, you are not making plastic parts. Some of these parts coming off these machines, little black parts, went into other things. We made anything plastic for Honda. So you sit in a Honda vehicle, most of what you will see was made in one of our facilities. Okay. So some of them were components that went into other things. So they were just these little parts and people got bored with it. It's like, oh, what are we really doing here? And I would tell them, you are not just making plastic parts. You are working with a network of Honda suppliers that they can put together, or they can assemble a vehicle, because they always told us they don't make cars, they assemble them, we make the parts, that they could assemble a vehicle that people would be willing to pay good money for, they felt safe in, that lasted a long time for them, and they felt good about driving. I said, so you're not just making plastic parts, you're serving our society. So every time you see a Honda driving down the road, you should feel good that our company's had a part to play in that. So it's not these parts that you need to focus on. It's those people that we're serving. You see, in our work, we're serving the Lord. We're serving our families. We should be serving our society as well. And it's such an opportunity. It's such an opportunity to share the gospel. There's so many people who will never, ever enter our churches. I don't know how many of you have ever been asked, would I be allowed to attend your church? No, we don't want anybody. Of course you're allowed to attend our church. When I'd go to these big Honda conferences, people would come up to me and say, would it offend you if I ask you a question about your faith? My answer was always, if it offended me, my faith wouldn't mean much, would it? And they'd laugh about it. And then they'd start talking about spiritual things with me. It was opportunities to serve the Lord through our work. And so we can serve the Lord and serve our fellow man through our work. And what happens if we don't have that purpose? You know, the majority of American people hate going to work every day. The surveys say that, yeah, I dread getting up. Monday mornings, I had a supplier when I was working in purchasing at one time. I had a supplier and she was always, oh, it's Monday. Yeah, isn't it great? She's like, what is wrong with you? I said, you know what? Look at it this way. Every New Year's, people look at it. This is a new opportunity. We have a new chat, a new book ahead of us. We can write up whatever we want this new year. And we get all excited about putting the old year behind us and the new year ahead of us. Why don't we do that every Monday? We've dealt with last week. Let's start a new chapter this week. Be excited about what we can do this week.
Sure.
But I tried to help people understand that. You know, we do have a purpose there. We do have a purpose there. And again, even in those things, to try to be an encouragement and be a bright spot. And we think, yeah, but we're not sharing the gospel at that point, or we're not sharing our faith. But aren't we? I mean, how many people in the world have a view of Christians of, we're just long-faced people that never have any fun? I hear that about our Anabaptist people all the time. You all laugh? You're different than everybody else. You laugh. You have fun. No, I'm not different. You just see them out in public where their wives are spending all their money. That's why they look that way. Sorry. But we have that opportunity to start building those relationships, because people out there, their view of Christianity is so warped. Their view of God is so warped. And so we need to have that opportunity to start just building relationships. Okay. And sometimes we're afraid to do that because they get messy. But that's what we're called to. If Paul had that, I'm getting to a sideline here and I'm not going to preach. We won't have an offering. But when Paul went to Corinth, that was pretty messy. He ran into some really messy stuff there. And we're afraid to go to Corinth sometimes, or even talk to the Corinthians. So through Simbiz Network and then my work with Anabaptist Financial as a business advisor, I try to encourage people to use our faith in our work as an opportunity, as a springboard to share our faith. And I've worked with some young men and I've told them, I said, don't be afraid to share your faith. We have something to offer. And through our work, we can do that. I'm going to tell another story here before I get to my next point. And it happened. I was at a cabinet shop and I was talking to the employees there and I was saying, you know, what is your long-term vision and purpose and intentions in your lives? And this one young man, he said, well, I'd like to do mission someday. I said, okay, what does that mean? And why, what do you see here versus there? And he said, well, we're just making fancy kitchen cabinets for these people that probably don't even need them. They can spend all their money they want. And why? So, well, first of all, Proverbs says, see a man diligent in business, he will stand before kings, not before mean men. So it gives you an opportunity to be a testimony. I said, but do you realize that many people who are very wealthy, who have all these nice fancy homes, have a lot of money, have no relationships? And they don't trust people a lot of times. Because what do you want from me? Because they're always getting people asking. I said, so these people are trusting you to come into their home, to come into their very kitchen. And a kitchen to me is a very personal space in a home. And I said, you're putting in these new cabinets. Now, when you put in these cabinets, think about the purpose of that space. Are they going to have family gatherings there? Picture the Thanksgiving dinners and the preparation and the family time there, the Christmas dinners, the Christmas gatherings, the birthday parties. Maybe in these settings, maybe not the everyday meals, but think about those times they're going to use that space. And I said, and you can be a smile to those people. You can be a friendly face to those people. You can share your faith through how you're interacting with them. And they may ask you questions. And I said, even if you never, ever see them, as you're putting up each of those cabinets and putting on those doors and putting in those shelves, pray for them. Because that is a powerful mission as well. I'm not saying you shouldn't go do anything else, but I don't want you to get that dichotomy in your mind. I want you to think about, I can have a mission and a purpose here. So it's a little sideline. I wasn't even thinking of sharing that, but time is getting away. That hour you said I had is really going to go past. So what happens when there's no purpose? What happens when there's no purpose? Well, we see it around us today, but we also see it in Scripture. Ezekiel 16:49, it talks about Sodom. And obviously we think of Sodom and Lot and all of the immorality that was there, but there's also more to it than that. 16:49 of Ezekiel talks about their pride, fullness of breath, abundance of idleness, and that they did not care for the poor and needy. You see, the purposes of work weren't being fulfilled there. They weren't working. They were idle. They weren't meeting the needs of those around them. And therefore, it affected their relationship with God because they were not being stewards of what God had given to them. And they were using the abundance of what they had on themselves, which led them farther and farther away from God. And I think we see that in our society. And, you know, even general society says when the welfare program and all the things that came in the 60s, that changed our society so much. It's biblical that it did. There's biblical reasons it did. And so today, people are looking for purpose. They're looking to drugs. They're looking to gangs, immorality. They're trying to find a purpose in their life. They want to find something they can contribute to. And of course, work's not an option on that because we've gotten that mindset that work is something that needs to be avoided. Okay? So they also want to worship something. So they're looking for purpose. They're looking for something to put their time and effort into and almost become a worship. They fill that void with money and sports and cars and whatever it may be. Try to fill that void that not only do they not have the purpose horizontally, but vertically as well. So as we're looking at our work and we're looking at the impact that we can have, and we're looking at the impact both in our mission programs as well as in our personal, our outreach locally as well as globally. Let's keep in mind where it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Does this include work? Does this include our attitude about work? And this is where Jeremy jokingly, half jokingly, said, we can't talk about making money as part of our business, right? But it's so often we have that separation, even in our evangelism, even in our discipleship, of the spiritual and the natural. And we need to give purpose. And I think that's where some mission programs have failed in the past, because they haven't focused on how does work come into, now that you're a new creature, how does work come into it? Crown Financial Ministries, I don't know how many people know of them, but they are mainly a volunteer organization, and they say that poverty in and of itself is not a financial issue, it's a spiritual issue. I've gone to their annual conferences a couple times, and I'm very inspired by it. They are basically the Anabaptist Financial in the evangelical world. Same mindset, stewardship. I mean, I just really appreciated what they had to teach. But because of that, they've had people, they've had some of their groups from Brazil sending foreign missionaries to the Middle East. They've had communities where they've been in poverty and they've gone in and they've taught biblical principles of stewardship and of freedom in Christ from the bondage of the spiritual oppression that's there and the superstitions, that now they're able to flourish and work and also then share the gospel through it. So I just want to encourage you. God's purpose and work. Give us purpose. Excuse me, in meeting our needs. Give us purpose in being a stewardship for Him. And then as that steward, having that relationship with Christ and letting our light shine through our work daily to glorify Him. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to learn more about Heralds of Hope or our strategic partner breakfasts, visit us online at heraldsofhope.org. That's HERALDS of hope.org. Or give us a call at 1-866-960-0292. Or email us at hope@heraldsofhope.org. And until we meet again, may you find purpose in your work as servants of Christ, our living hope.